Chapter 13. Rachel's Accusation. Blake decided to show Mr. Brough the letter immediately. He walked to the train station with Betteridge, carrying the letter and the nightgown. The two men were silent. After a while, Blake said,
"Before I go to London, I have two questions to ask you. First, was I drunk on the night of Rachel's birthday party?"
"No," replied Betteridge.
"But you looked so pale and tired that night that I offered you a glass of brandy."
"I do not usually drink brandy. Maybe..."
"Wait," said Betteridge.
"I knew that, so I poured you half a glass of brandy and filled up the rest of the glass with cold water. Mr. Abel White brought it to you. A child wouldn't have got drunk on it."
Blake nodded and asked his second question.
"When I was young, did I ever sleepwalk during the night?"
"No, sir,"
Betteridge replied. When Blake arrived in London, it was too late to find Mr. Brough at his office, so he went to the lawyer's home instead. The lawyer read the letter in silence. Then he looked up.
"Franklin Blake," he said, "this is very serious. Rachel's strange behavior towards you is no longer a mystery. She believes you stole the diamond."
Blake nodded sadly.
"The first thing you must do,"
continued the lawyer,
"is speak to Rachel. You must persuade her to tell you why she thinks that you took the moonstone. It is true that the name on the back of the nightgown proves that it was yours. But what evidence is there that you are the person who wore it on the night the diamond was stolen?"
Blake could not speak.
"Rosanna has shown herself to be good at deception,"
Mr. Brough continued.
"Maybe she showed the nightgown to Rachel, and that is why Rachel believes you stole the diamond. I don't know who took the diamond. It may have been Rosanna herself. What I do know is that the disappearance of the diamond gave Rosanna, a former thief who was in love with you, an opportunity to cause bad feelings between you and Rachel for the rest of your lives."
"I thought that too," agreed Blake. "But what will happen if we discover that I did wear the nightgown that night?"
"I don't see how that can be proved. Let's wait and see why Rachel suspects you. The main difficulty now is how to make Rachel talk to you about the diamond. Do you have any suggestions?"
asked the lawyer.
"I have decided to ask Rachel myself,"
said Blake.
"Perhaps that is the best idea. I believe that Rachel still loves you in a little corner of her heart. If you can remind her of that, she will tell you everything she knows. The question is, how will you be able to see her?"
"She is a guest in this house," said Blake. "May I ask you to arrange a meeting here?"
The lawyer arranged for Rachel to have lunch with his wife and daughters the following day. He gave Blake the key to his gate in the back garden and told him to be there at 3 p.m.
"Let yourself into the house and make your way to the drawing room," said Brough. "There you will find Rachel alone."
At exactly 3 o'clock the next afternoon, Blake unlocked Mr. Brough's garden gate. His hand was shaking. He walked nervously towards the drawing room. He could hear someone playing a piano. After a minute, he opened the door. As Blake entered the room, Rachel rose from the piano. Blake closed the door behind him. They stood looking at each other in silence. Rachel seemed unable to move. "Rachel," Blake said gently, walking towards her. She sat down again, and Blake bent down to kiss her. She pushed him away.
"You coward,"
she cried.
"What have I done?"
Blake asked.
"What have you done? I have kept your action a secret, and I have suffered greatly. Do not insult me by asking me what you have done. You were once a gentleman, dear to my mother and dearer still to me."
Rachel stopped speaking. She turned her back to Blake and covered her face with her hands. Blake asked her to listen to what he had to say. He told her what he had found at the Shivering Sands and all the events that had led up to the discovery.
"I have a question to ask you,"
said Blake.
"Did Rosanna Spearman show you the nightgown?"
Rachel stood up and walked towards Blake. She looked up at him.
"Are you mad?"
she asked.
"No,"
replied Blake.
"But why do you think that I stole your diamond?" "I saw you take the diamond with my own eyes."
Blake sat down in shock. Rachel said,
"I have not told anyone what I saw. I have only told you because you asked me to. Why did you come here? What do you think I will do?"
Blake did not know how to answer her.
"You saw me with your own eyes take the diamond?"
he asked. He looked seriously at Rachel.
"I want you to tell me everything that happened, Rachel, from the time we wished each other good night to the time you saw me take the diamond. We are both victims of a terrible misunderstanding."
Slowly, Rachel began to speak. "After the party, I went straight to bed, but I did not fall asleep because I was thinking about you. At about 1 o'clock, I got up to get a book from my sitting room. I lit a candle and opened the bedroom door. Suddenly, I heard someone coming towards my room. I thought it might be my mother. I knew that she was worried about the diamond. I blew out my candle, but before I had time to go back to bed, you came into the sitting room. I knew it was you because your face was clearly lit by your candle. You came to the middle of the room and looked around. Then you looked through the drawers of the cabinet until you found the diamond. I could see it shining in your hand. You stood still for a long time, as if you were worried about something. Then you left the room holding the diamond and the candle. You did not close the door. I did not go back to bed at all that night, but I decided to protect you because I loved you." Rachel tried to calm herself. She spoke without looking at Blake.
"In spite of what I saw, I did not tell anyone. I didn't want to believe that you were a thief. But when I saw how you helped the police with the investigation, I was very angry with you. I do not believe that you are innocent anymore. You stole the diamond, pretended to help the police, and used the diamond as a guarantee for a loan in London, where people now suspect Godfrey Ablewhite, an innocent man. You then left the country. After all that, there was only one thing more that you could do. And you have now done it. You will not even admit to me that you stole the diamond."
Blake's eyes filled with tears. He got up to leave.
"One day you will know that you are wrong,"
he cried, and closed the door behind him.